Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today here on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm. Have a live link at thetrumpet.com. And you can listen to us wherever you like to get your podcasts, all the different programming that we offer here on kpcg.fm. Do you know that God has laid out a very specific government for His church? God's got a way of organizing His church. He has a government that He laid out, and it's vitally important that we understand God's teaching on church government. There couldn't be a more important topic. Without understanding church government, we become pretty confused as to where to go, what to do. But thankfully, God has laid out His government for us in the Bible. Let's look at a few passages that talk about this today. 1 Corinthians 12, we'll start there. If you have a Bible handy, it'd be great to get it out, and we could look at these passages together and see what God's Word says about government. It's amazing as we go through these. You know, these are pretty clear scriptures, and yet many people don't subscribe to them. They don't follow them, and yet it's laid out very specifically for us. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 28, this is talking about that government system in God's church. It says, "And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues." What's interesting here especially is that God has set the government up that way. God has set some in the church. That's what it says. This isn't man's idea. This is from God. God has set that government. And then it lists some of those offices that He has set. Apostles, firstly, being the ones that God works through directly, that Christ works through in leading the church. And God has set the government that way. Notice this quote. It's from Lesson 23 of the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course, free course at thetrumpet.com. And please sign up for that if you have not done so already. It says, "The government presently in God's church is the same form of government by which Christ shall rule all nations during the millennium and the great white throne judgment period. Those in God's church today have voluntarily placed themselves under the authority of His government." God doesn't force anybody to obey Him. It has to be voluntary. It says, "Thus they are learning to rule in the kingdom of God." How are they doing that? By first being ruled by the government of God during their mortal lives. God's begotten children learn to rule in the world tomorrow by submitting to and administering God's government within His church today. That's such an important point. I'll repeat it. God's begotten children learn to rule in the world tomorrow by submitting to and administering God's government within His church today. Notice Ephesians 1. Let's look at this passage. Ephesians 1, verses 22 through 23. It is interesting, of course. God, again, doesn't force anyone to be under His government, but it's a voluntary submission that He's looking for. And that's the government that will continue to go forward into God's kingdom and family. And if the people reject it, well, then they don't have a future there. We need to voluntarily place ourselves under God's government, under His authority. Ephesians 1 and verse 22, it says, "And has put all things under His feet," talking about Jesus Christ, "and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that fills all in all." The church is called the body of Christ. It's His body. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And then He works down through His chosen physical leader, and the government then filters down from there. A person cannot follow Christ while at the same time reject the government Christ established. That's just a pretty logical point. You know, there are times where people will reject God's government and then say, well, I'm only going to follow Jesus Christ. In other words, they don't want any human being involved. Well, that's not the way God set up his government. We read it there in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 28, that God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, and so on, to do his work, to administer his government. And so if a person says, well, I'm not going to follow what any man says, well, then they would have said that same thing to Jesus Christ, I guess, when he was on this earth as a man doing his Father's work. Or maybe they would have said it to the Apostle Peter when he was doing God's work, following Christ's lead, or the Apostle Paul or any of them. I mean, they were humans. See, there is a government structure there that we have to be following. And we can't kid ourselves and think that, well, we won't listen to any human, but we'll somehow listen to God the Father and Jesus Christ. Doesn't work that way. Notice Ephesians 5, verses 22 through 24, more about the government pattern and structure, something we can understand very clearly. Verse 22, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their husbands in everything. And husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Christ is the head of the church, and to help us understand that government pattern, it's built right into the physical family. Notice this from, again, lesson 23. It says, Christ is the head of the church, even as a husband is the head of his wife. The human family structure is a type, of the divine family of God and is to be governed according to the law of God, which is summed up in the one word, love. By following the principles of God's government in our families, we are learning how to apply God's way and rightly govern those Christ will place under our rule in the millennium. See, the scriptures that we have covered, they're in everyone's Bible. They're there to read, but often people don't follow God's government structure in their families, nor do they follow God's church government in many cases. And why is that? Well, it's simply most people don't want to be told what to do. They don't want to be led. They don't want to be ruled. But just think about this process here, this God family structure that's being built. Everyone in that God family will have to follow someone's direction above them, but then they will also have to lead those that are under them in that structure. You know, there's a following of government, and then there is the administration of it as well, down the line. And everybody has to understand that principle, that there's always somebody up the line to listen to for us, but then there's those that we give instruction to as well. You know, we in the family's structure, we have all been children. We had parents. And then if we get older and have kids, and then we're the parent, right? There's a structure there, a government. As a child, our parents appreciated it if we listened to their direction. And then when we became parents, we really appreciated it when our children would listen to our direction. See, that family structure teaches us so much about government. And God built it that way, specifically. We need to make sure we're following God's government. That attitude of rejecting government and not wanting anyone to tell another what to do, that attitude comes from Satan. It originates with Satan. He doesn't want God to tell him what to do. He wants to rebel, and he does. And so what is the result of people not following government? What is the result of individuals just wanting to do their own thing without anyone telling them what to do? Well, the result is war, because you have multiple people all wanting to do their own thing, fighting each other. So you have wars in families. You have wars in religion. You have wars between nations. But God's way is love. It's spelled out in his Ten Commandments. And it's the way that brings peace. We need the government of God to have peace. If we want peace in our lives today, we need to follow the government of God. And ultimately, this world will have peace when God's government rules it at the return of Jesus Christ. again, lesson 23, it says Christ rules the church, his wife-to-be, and he does it in love. We read that there in verse 25. You know, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. He wasn't, you know, a rough person, Jesus Christ. He loved people. Now, he was corrective at times when he needed to be, but he sacrificed, he loved, he gave, he kept the law perfectly. Now, that's a great ruler. That's a ruler that we want to follow. So we have to really think about God's government that way. There are governments in this world that are quite cruel, of course, but God's government's not that way. Christ, it says, loved the church so much that he died for her so she could receive forgiveness from sin and be made immortal at his second coming. Husbands are to submit to Christ. You can read that in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 3, and follow his example of love toward their own families. They too are to learn to govern in love, not as tyrants. And so government sometimes gets a bad name in this world because people abuse it and think that if they're in charge, well, they just tell everyone what to do all of the time. And that's not God's perspective on government. There's, of course, law and there is direction, but it's all done in love, not as a tyrant. It says husbands and fathers should rule their households according to God's law, you know, and that law, that everyone has to keep that. Governing, it says, for the good of those governed. And wives are to submit to their own husbands as the church is to submit to Christ. Verse 24, we read that. It says, how clear it is that God's people learn to rule by being ruled. That's how we learn. We have to submit voluntarily to God's government. Notice 1 Corinthians 12. We'll look at verses 4 through 6. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 6. It says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which works all in all. Yes, there are different administrations, right? If you lived at the time of the Apostle Paul, there'd be a particular, you know, group of people you worked with there. Today, it's different because there are different people today that God's working through. There's a different apostle today that God is working through, but it's the same Christ working through his apostle. It's the same Spirit empowering God's work. It's the same laws that are being followed and being taught. It's the same government structure. See, there's not different commandments today or different ideologies or various forms of government. There's one government. It's the government of God. Notice Ephesians 2, verses 19 through 22. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. It says, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. It's not households plural, it's household of God. There's one church, one true church. Verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. God has a church. The church of God, Jesus Christ is the head, and it is the household of God. It's the family of God. One church, unified by that government of God. Ephesians 4, verses 15 through 16. Notice this. It says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Christ is the head of the church. Verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, every member, every person within that body is important. It says, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. It's one church, many members within that church, but it's one church, one body, one head, Jesus Christ. Another quote here from Correspondence Course, Lesson 23. It says, notice especially that there is only one church, not many churches. There's one. The church is not divided. What could the church get done? Just think about that. If it was divided, if it was, you know, different ideologies and different thoughts, it couldn't get anything done. It can't be divided. It says the church, the household of God, is a family, even as God is a divine family. The church is also compared to a building and a human body with various parts. Again, you know, these are all analogies that are being used to help us understand the government of God. We understand how a building is put together. We understand that a body has different parts to it, but it's one body. It's to help us understand God's government, his church. It says today the church is well organized according to Jesus Christ's instruction in his written word. This isn't some idea that humans came up with sitting around. This is God's instructions, Christ's instruction in his written word. All the parts, it says, are joined and functioning together in harmony and teamwork. The church is compressed together as closely as if welded together. This shows organized unity, and it's because of the government of God. You know, the world's full of wars, but the church of God is unified. Of course, Satan attacks it, and there are persecutions and trials that come and such, but still it is unified. It is a unified body because of God's government. And as we read there in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 28, Christ set it up so that there's apostles, then prophets, then teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, government, diversities of tongues. You can go through this lesson 23 of the correspondence course. It gets into more detail about those offices. And you need to study those, and you need to look at those and understand them. But God does have an apostle today. He is working through his apostle today. We've got plenty of information about that at thetrumpet.com. And there's a whole government structure. Christ isn't working in, you know, 10 different places or 2 different places. One place, one body, and Christ is the head of it. And so you need to make sure that you study into these things, understand them. We all do. It's something we need to grow in our understanding of all the time and make sure we're thankful to God's government and that we are following it effectively. Then we can have peace. And then we can have the growth that we desire and that God desires for us. That's all the time we have for this edition of Live by Every Word. If you'd like to learn more about this topic, lesson 23 of the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. Also, we have quite a bit of free literature at thetrumpet.com that talks about God's church and God's government. You can find that there at thetrumpet.com. Thanks for joining me today on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.